All right. Hey, everybody. Want to welcome you to this final ending edition of Bible News Radio.
Yeah, it is.
Gosh, I'm already getting emotional.
Really? Okay.
Anyway, I am your host, Stacy Lynn, your sweet and lovable host as Beth in Australia many years ago. Said to me. Yep. So there you go. okay, so this is a little harder than I thought it was going to be.
And I am not your sweet and lovable host. I'm that sidekick that appeared for several years in between, I guess it was April of 2011 or May, somewhere in there. And then certainly on through the years of Blog Talk Radio and Periscope, and then later to YouTube. Well, YouTube and Facebook were simultaneous. Were
True.
we? And Twitch. Not much of an audience there. But a few. Were we
People we don't know.
when we did Periscope, was that sole channel? We weren't multicasting?
No, we did. Yeah, well, it was Periscope just for a while.
Yeah,
Yeah.
when we were doing the multicast, it was YouTube, Facebook,
But
and Twitch.
yeah, we have had quite the journey. We've been doing this show almost 20 years, which, I was in my 30s when I started this. Just finishing graduate school and started blogging, and the next thing you know, I'm being invited to go to a GLSEN conference, and Randall went to that with me, and then I was invited to do some writing for a ministry and write for Voice of the Martyrs for a long time, almost 10 years for that. And yeah, so this has been quite the journey. But you know what? I think there's, as Ecclesiastes says, there is a time under heaven to end stuff. And I think this is a good time. And the irony here for me is that since I've announced that I'm going to end the show, I've had people coming to me and saying, "Well, can you do this? Can you do that?" And I'm like, "No, I can't do it. Not going to do it. It's over, people. The nail is in the coffin." Actually, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about the whole term of a coffin and a nail. And yeah, anyway,
Goes back to the days of pine pajamas.
But anyway, I do want to, I wanted Randall to be my final guest. I've had probably over 1,500 plus guests in the last, 18 years or so. And, it's funny because people who've been with this show for a long time, I want to give a shout out to two people, actually three people, and I, because, and,
Actually, 35.
Well, and, the thing, this is the hard part because I've been really thinking about, okay, there's people who've been behind the scenes who've blessed us financially and who have, in essence, kept us alive
And been encouragers and
and been encouragers and have become friends. And I think that's the interesting part about this to me. Is that, a lot of the pretty much everybody online that we know today is a result of this show. I
Yes.
mean, aside from the friends that we had before we came online. And I have a number of those, right?
Right.
But there's three people in particular, and I'm definitely hoping I don't offend anybody else that's donated to us or anything, but there's three people in particular I wanted to thank. Actually, four people.
The list will grow as time goes, but
I'm sure. Well, it's like, okay. So the very first donor we ever had to this show was a woman by the name of Cassandra Ware. And I don't even know if Cass is still listening to the show, but just last week when Randall and I celebrated our anniversary, We were going through a whole bunch of junk in our bedroom, and I happened to find the card, the very first letter, fan mail, if you will, that I got, and it was from Cass. And I will tell you, she is, well, she was at the time, I don't know if she's married now, but at the time she was married, she was single, a single mother in Atlanta. We were broadcasting in California. And she heard our show on, I think it was one place. And anyway, we were talking about the gay agenda, and she was so moved by it that she donated to us. I can't remember if it was 50 bucks, 25. I can't remember what it was because it's been a long time. But she was the very first donor to our show.
And I remember you called her up to thank
I
her.
did. I called her up, and she was like, she thought we were such a big ministry, and she
Yeah.
was shocked that I called her up.
Wow, the host of the program is calling me. Yes, the host of this program, at that time we had an enclosed patio. Back of our house, patio, had gotten HELOC, borrowed some money to pay for that, but anyway, so yeah,
Well,
the
anyway, so but so Cass was the first one, and I will say, that just kind of like some people have their own business and they frame the first dollar that they made,
sure.
as I was going through the ministry, I will say that as I was going through all this old stuff, and I saw that, I was like, oh wow. And we've received a number of very generous donations through the years, and I probably am going to list more than four people at this point because I keep having people come to mind. But I will tell you, so Cass was our very first donor. Our very first big, huge donor was Scott, JDF.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I remember after moving here, really tough times. There's a
And he
lot.
sent us sock monkeys.
Yes,
We got a couple of sock
yeah,
monkeys from
because you
Scott.
wanted
Well,
But anyway, our first year of moving here was, after having exhausted our savings because we lost some money to a
con
command,
artist
yeah, basically.
off of Tennessee.
And anyway, I had to do some things over and do them ourselves. Anyway, I
But Scott,
remember, yeah, I was just
go
gonna, long
ahead.
story short, financial straits. We were doing this thing, and I was saying, this isn't working. I gotta get a job. I gotta go work somewhere. And I said, tell you what, if we can't bring in $1,000 in the next month, then that's for sure. Then it's time to give up this Bible News Radio thing. And
I don't even remember that part.
yeah.
But he heard about us on Derek Gilbert's show,
Oh,
PID Radio, way
yeah.
back.
Back when.
They interviewed me, and he heard me on that show, and next thing you know, he sent us $1,000. And I mean, I was just blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's believed in us that much
Much, yeah.
to send us $1,000. I mean, it's like, wow, that's crazy. So there was Cass, who was our first donor. Then Scott was our first big, huge, four-figure donor. Along the way, we've had people who have supported us for the most part through almost our whole show. And Denise, I would say, was the first of a handful of people
Steady.
who not only supported what we did, but for those of you who listened to this show for a long time, and you remember Ariel Ministries sponsoring us. Denise was the one that connected us with Ariel, even though I was already connected with Ariel Ministries. She was the one that did some behind the scenes stuff and encouragement, and so for a number of years, it was probably a good 6 or 7 years, Ariel supported us. And, they were, a monthly sponsor to us. I mean, we did advertising for them, but that brought in some money for us, which was like about $600 a month. Which, to those of you out there who, you're probably going, is this all this show's going to be about? We're setting up something here. Because for me, this has never been about the money. I mean, I haven't made a living doing this show the last 18 years, but God has sustained it through the generous gifts of the people that I'm talking about and the ministry. I mean, there's no way that we've ever been able to support or make a living doing this. And what's sad to me is that there's a lot of people out there in the Christian world right now who are trying to tell people, oh, you can make a ton of money doing podcasting. Look, the reality is we've done very well. I mean, I think at the high end we made $15,000 one year. Between the donors, between the work that I was doing and the ads and stuff. But if you break that, not 15 grand, that's barely $1,000 a month. Nobody can live on that. I mean, you can't support yourself on that.
Yeah, but it's
But
enough to meet the expenses.
yeah, the bare bones expenses, right? So all that to say,
The
though,
direct costs of.
that for me has, been what's kept us encouraged. Just the financial donors to me is it was a physical encouragement that yes, we believe in you, we stand with you, we know the message you're saying is true. We're going to support you along the way. And I set up a long time ago the pillar of the community, which was like $25 a month, which was what I was starting at. And we've had pillars of the community. Tracy and Denise were two of the very first pillars of our community. And like I said, Denise not only became a mentor to me, but kind of like a spiritual mother. But Denise would even do sweet things like on my birthday, send me money, and on our anniversary, send us a little gift to go out and eat because she loves us, And that's what I think the biggest fruit of our ministry, aside from exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness, because for a long time we called the show On the Wall Radio, which I still think is funny. When we were calling ourselves Watchmen on the Wall, and we had the opening verse from, was it Isaiah?
No,
About being
from
from
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, right, on there. But Tracy, Tracy. I'm not going to say people's last names, but Tracy, you know who you are. Generously donated to us. And then there was Mia, who will always definitely hold a very special place in my heart for this ministry because not only she was the first, actually second guest of ours to come to our home here in Tennessee, but we also got to baptize Mia a couple years ago. And so, there was that really special thing, with Mia, and we have that on video somewhere, her baptism, and it just really key parts of,
Yeah, we streamed it on Periscope,
yeah.
so.
And Mia again, took from a special part of her income and gave to us, just like Tracy did. I mean, and then there is Gina. Mama Gina, as a lot of us knows, Mama Gina has also been extremely generous with us and supported us along the way. And again, there's very key moments I can think of in my personal relationship with her, in the ministry that we've done, that has, just it's changed me. I think the audience changes a person. Because let's just be real, I did not know Denise. I didn't know Gina. I didn't know Tracy. I didn't know Scott. Didn't know Cass. Didn't know Mia. Did not know any of these guys prior to our show. And yet, I mean, we have, I still have, other friends. We have Sean, who was a pillar of our community for a long time. We got Nina Kay, who's a pillar of our community. We got Doug, recently, my friend Julie has come alongside and supported us, is really the one who's funding most of the app for us, which I'm sure she doesn't want me to tell anybody.
So.
Sorry about that. So we got that. We got Vicky Hankey,
Yeah.
who's also been a longtime supporter and pillar of the community.
And also a visitor to our home on a few occasions.
Yeah, actually the very first time we met Vicky was at Waffle House.
Yes.
And that was funny because we were she's like, "Hey, I'm gonna be in town and I'm gonna bring my kid." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And I remember telling Randall, "Okay, I'm gonna go meet this woman. I don't know who she is, and this is gonna be really interesting, and I'm kind of nervous, and because I don't know her, I'm gonna go." And it was so funny because we get to Waffle House and I found the picture that we took years ago and I was like, "Oh, that was so funny."
So was she the first to visit?
Well, we had Beth from Australia
Right.
come to our home, and we had
Yeah.
Mia,
Yeah.
and then we did have Vicky stay the night at one point. She came back.
Yeah.
She stayed back.
Yeah.
Then we also had
But I just don't can't remember who was first.
We also had
We met
J
the
Jeff.
yeah.
Jeff and Kim.
Yeah, we met
They
them.
came here too.
Yeah, they came to town. They didn't.
But we ate with
They,
them.
yeah, we
Yeah.
met them
So, and
somewhere. I don't remember. Somewhere in town.
there's one other person who's also been really generous with us, and that's been Katie. Katie has also been really supportive and kept us up, especially in the last couple of years. So, and I know that there's others. I know that I know I'm forgetting somebody, and please don't hate me if I've forgotten you. It's because I have 5 million people that I keep thinking of and stuff. But anyway, I know. You know, it's important, just so you guys know, it's not us. It's, you know, this ministry has always been about trying to encourage you to see what's going on, to build a biblical worldview, and really to make disciples.
Yes.
And, you know, over the years, we have tried things like Good News Monday, which was a complete flop. We learned that people don't want good news, and at least not in the title, anyway.
Right.
But we and then here's the other thing. The other thing is that the number one thing people have wanted from this show and gotten from this show is exposing the homosexual, you know, issue and agenda. And
I was gonna say, and all these programs, you know, whether it'd been political things or, you know, they weren't, the point wasn't to give scintillating details on things and to build controversy. It was just to use those things as a springboard. Hey, this is what the media are telling you. This is the worldly worldview. Let's look at what the scripture says. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. We need to be standing firm, on the rock that is Christ and the surety of his word. And so when we looked at all those things, if you go back and listen to, if you can find the stuff anywhere, I don't know, probably still on Blog Talk Radio. I know there's,
No,
and you can find some.
Blog Talk finally deleted everything of ours.
Okay, I know you can still find some things in Podomatic,
Right? Yeah.
but if you listen to those things, they're always going back to the Word
Yep.
to build a biblical worldview by being in the Bible. Imagine that.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when we first started the show, it was my very first guest was Dr. Frank Turek, who wrote the book I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And I really patterned my show after Janet Parcell's show in the beginning. And then as I was learning that I don't have to take and accept every person under the sun as far as guests go, it took me a few years to figure that out. I remember I told Randall one summer, I said, "Okay, let's go ahead and let's just you and me do a shows or I'll do a show, but let's just us do it. Forget interviewing people. Let's see what happens. And I remember our numbers increased because, and at that point, I remember telling you, wow, more people are tuning in to hear us instead of the guests.
Right.
And that surprised me.
Not that we're all that, nor a bag of
No.
chips, but
No, but
it
I
would
just.
just talk. Well, just making the main thing the main thing. I mean, keeping the Lord central, his word central, and that, yeah.
Right. Well, and then us as a Christian couple. You know, I mean, we've done, I don't even know how many shows we've done celebrating our anniversary. I mean, we just celebrated 31 years.
31.
And remember Hal Paxton? He helped officiate and renew our vows on 20th anniversary. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, that was 11 years ago.
Yes.
And Hal was another person who was really supportive in the beginning of the show when we were first starting. In fact, we had him on the show, Free
Yes.
for All Fridays.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, you
This
know.
is kind of a free for all Friday episode, even though we're not recording on a Friday. Because before, we'd have our topics planned out with the show, and Friday was just, hey, let's just kind of stream of consciousness.
And that was the most popular show
Yeah.
every week
Yeah.
was Free for All Friday. So yeah, but our marriage, anyway, my point is that our marriage was, you know, I've been told by a lot of you that one of the things that you've appreciated is, you know, us as a couple. And there have been times, there have been a few times, especially when we were broadcasting live, where Randall really pissed me off, to put it bluntly.
That's
And
bluntly.
I'm trying to go live and he's doing something, getting frustrated, and I'm like, oh, and you know, on air, I'm like trying to calm down.
There's been a time or two you just walked off and
There was one time I did that. Yeah, I do, because. But yeah, I mean, because you guys don't
that's real
understand.
life.
Well, yeah, and then we have a whole bunch of episodes with Luke and Liberty barking in the background when we lived in California.
Oh
And
yeah.
we got we have Grover and Tug, I think
Well,
probably as background noise
yeah.
in some episodes as well, but
This was happens when you're
well,
not in a,
a studio.
First it was an enclosed patio, and then it was a spare bedroom, and well, in between the move, when we were.
We were on boxes.
Yeah, we were in boxes in a couple different rooms.
And that's the funny thing, right? So, and yet people like Cass way in the beginning were like, you know, I'm really so glad that, you know, I've contacted this big ministry, and I can't believe that the founder contacted me. But and that's kind of one of the funny things to me is this whole thing. You have produced this show. You made it better production-wise. Well, maybe not this particular episode, but
You're speaking to me.
right, Randall.
Right.
But because of that, I think a lot of people have thought, oh, we're a lot larger ministry than what most people think. And it's really been me most of the time. And
Yes.
Randall is my sidekick, you know. I mean, this is my offering unto the Lord that, you know.
It's funny, when we were first doing the audio only on Blog Talk Radio, and then we began to have host other programs on our channel, on Blog
That's
Talk channel.
yep. We have Jan Markell.
John Markell, we had John Clace, we
Yeah,
had Fred DeRuvo, Ed
Ed
Decker.
Decker, yep.
Anyway, on the Active Christian Media Network, back in those days,
Yep.
and there, it's funny. Probably people got that same
Think
sort of view that, oh, this is some big ministry.
Right.
But no, it's people in their patio room and a couple of MacBooks and a telephone interface. Anyway, on a DSL line. Anyway.
Right.
where I'm going with that is that going a couple places. First, back in those days, my big vision was to, build a, not a TVN, but,
No.
just a real broadcasting network. And then later on, as we were doing the Periscope thing, which when we first started to go video, that was an ancillary kind of thing, was we were doing the audio show on Blog Talk, and we just put the iPad that we were broadcasting with on Periscope, we just put that in the room to show us, it's kind of like watch us do this show.
Right.
And then we saw all these live comments on
Well,
Periscope.
that's when we really.
It's like, wow, the interactive audience, while we're having thousands of downloads on Blog Talk Radio, that's all after the fact. There's a live audience out here that's watching this program and interacting with this, which was, and anyway, that gave me a whole different kind of vision. I'm kind of my
And it gives you a different energy
Oh,
too.
definitely. My daydream of the future was to have a mobile studio, convert a small RV into our studio and, kind of drive around the country doing broadcasts. But anyway, so that was one part of going through that history. The second part is to be an encouragement to all y'all that are listening. Not to deceive people and make them think you're bigger than you are. We weren't
No.
trying to do that at all. We were just trying to
Nope.
do something well, trying to do something as unto the Lord, to the best of our ability. And give all y'all something that, you could use. So do not despise humble beginnings. I mean, you don't need to get the big contract or get in. It's probably better if you don't
Nope.
get in with the Clear Channel or Salem Radio or whoever else that's a commercial entity and where it's money first and
Right.
gospel later.
Well,
But just, yeah, so we've never been all that, nor a bag of chips, and yet to have had, God's used it. So God can use whatever you got. Your five loaves and two fish, whatever it is. Don't think, well, maybe when I get a basket of fish, when am I gonna get 12 baskets of fragments, so I can go out there and I can minister to somebody. Whatever it is, whether it's you want to do your own podcast, you want to do I don't know, an outreach in your city's park or whatever it is, don't think you've got to get 12 area churches on board and a board and form a nonprofit organization and, et cetera, et cetera. Get all these ducks in a row before you can make a difference. Just whatever you got. Moses had a staff in his hand. And well, he said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, throw it down." He had a hand. Put your hand in your, God can use it. Whatever, five loaves, two fish, a staff, Gideon with a pitchfork, hiding in a wine press, trying to thresh wine or thresh wine, thresh wheat in a wine press where, yeah, good luck with that. And God says, "A mighty man of valor, I've got something for you to do." And I want you to do it with kind of like as few people as possible. He wanted his thousands, and God says, "Nope, let's whittle that down to 300." And okay, should we have our chariots and our horses? No, just torches, some jars, you'll be good. Yeah. So anyway, long time in my soapbox there, but may this serve as an encouragement to all y'all. Whatever ministry the Lord has placed in your heart, just step out in faith and start doing it. And people will show up to encourage you.
Well, and that's I wanted to before I'm trying not to have menopause brain because I forget stuff. But going back to, we initially recorded it and then we went to live. And when we went to live on Periscope, there were a couple of key people who really helped bless our ministry. And one of those people was Vicky Fitch, right? Vicky was very popular on Periscope and she did her, was it Person of the Week or
I don't
I forgot
know.
what she called it, but when she picked me as like her Person of the Week, I can't remember what she called it. It's gonna drive me nuts. But anyway, that part of her community also came along and all of that. And then, the other thing too is the guests we've had on the show. And this is the funny, interesting thing to me about the guests is, a lot of people in our private life, well, what do you do for a living? What have you done or whatever? And I'm like, well, I've hosted a show called Bible News Radio. Oh, well, who have you had on your show? And I'll say Amy Grant was one of my first big guests who was on. In fact, we did her, she, we were her first podcast, right? Oh, that's so amazing. It's, oh, I want you all to know that despite the big names that we've had on, and I've had pretty much anybody I've wanted on, with the exception of a handful, literally five or six people I've wanted. Having celebrity guests on your podcast does nothing to grow your podcast. People will come to your show once or twice if they're interested in those people. But if you decide to start your own podcast, your followers will be your followers. They'll follow the show because of you, not because of your guest. Not even sometimes because of the topic, but because of who you are as a person. And I think, that's part of the thing for me is I've grown as a person. I've changed some of my views doing this show over time. But the one thing that I've never done is depart from being who I really am as a person. I don't pretend I'm one person on this show and then I'm another person off the show. And there are people that do that. And I think every person that's met us in person,
Yeah.
who met us on the show,
Knows that we're WYSIWYG.
has been shocked. Oh my gosh, you're really this way. And I'm like, yeah,
Why be any
it's
other
just too
way?
much energy to
Right.
pretend, And yet, part of the disillusionment I've seen from sitting behind a microphone all these years is that often in Christian media, the big name media, those people are really not what you see behind the scenes, And so whereas I've had a lot of people, come to me in the past and say, "Would you do this?" And we've thought about having you host this show here, and people you would know, right, have given us promises
Promises.
that have literally been like pulled and yanked away and like, "Okay, oh, we were just kidding, But I will say that we've had other opportunities every year for since 2005. Every year that we've wanted to, we've gone down to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, whether it was in Anaheim or it was here in Nashville, and we've been part of the media down there. We're well established as media people in different media outfits know who I am. That's why they contact me and they pitch me people to have on the show.
And is
And
that because you went to journalism school
nope.
and worked for local television stations
Nope.
and did a stint on the radio? And
Nope.
how did that happen?
It happened because God gave me the wisdom to know how to do media. And no other reason. I had zero connections. I had zero connections when I started the show to anybody, anywhere. And I just learned, God just put the download in me. And like when I found Amy Grant, I knew what to do to find her publicist. I knew to find a publicist. But anyway, all that to say, I covered the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And in a couple of years, we were also invited down to Prophecy Watchers to cover their prophecy conference. And I've spoken at a couple of events as well. But these things, most people also don't get that opportunity unless they're respected in what they
Right.
do. And, you and me know that we have had people at NRB, say, "Oh my gosh, that was the best interview all day." And it became so comical. Me and Randall were like, "Really?" And all the press people would be like, "Oh my gosh, how do you talk to these guys? What is it?" And so one year it was like, okay, I told Randall, I said, "I'm gonna record everybody's comment afterwards just because, just because none of these people know each other." And Virginia Prodan, we met there, the Benham Brothers, we met there, Grace Casper, we met there. I mean, we met lots of different people, and they all said the same thing. And I'm not bringing this up to brag or anything, but I'm sharing it because if you want to know what keeps somebody in ministry so long without being paid anything, it's that type of encouragement, right? I mean, clearly we didn't do this for the money. I believe my reward in heaven is going to be there. I think whatever, whatever I did in my flesh will be burned up. I'm sure there's some of that for sure. But overall, my heart has been to, make disciples, to make you laugh. That's been another thing that we've done is we've, that's one of the, I've gotten two insults over time.
Only two?
Two big ones.
Two categories.
Two categories of insults. I can't believe you're a woman. You need to shut up and put a veil over your head because you're a woman, and how dare you preach on the radio? First of all, I'm not on the radio. Second of all, I'm not a preacher,
Preaching.
and all that. But the other one is you're too happy. And I don't remember who it is, but I do remember, and this is one of my favorite stories to tell, because I had L.A. Marzulli on the show. I was the very first actual podcaster to interview L.A. Marzulli. Nobody would interview him because he was all controversial about UFOs. And so I forgot, I think it was Gary Stearman or somebody like that who I hooked up, and he introduced me to L.A. And I had him on. I had L.A. on to talk about UFOs or whatever. And I remember this guy on my Facebook page commenting and saying, "You are one of the worst, crappiest interviewers ever, and you laugh too much on your show." And then in the same sentence, they wrote, "And I just want you to know, I went to LA's website and I bought all of his DVDs you were talking about." And that made me laugh so hard because I was like, oh, okay, if I'm the worst, crappiest interviewer in the whole entire universe, then I guess you buying his stuff made that. I mean, it was kind of like the point of the interview, just so y'all know, people, when you interview somebody about a book and a product, the goal is to get you to buy the book and the product. And I will say, I did learn over time, though, that because I wasn't always reviewing a book or reading it fully, I did learn to say, to say caveats. Like, you know what? I'm not sure. I think, I'm not going to tell you to go out and get this book because I haven't read it all. Or, oh my gosh, you guys, I highly recommend this book. I cannot recommend this enough. You really need to go out and get this. I encourage you to go buy it. If I said that, then I read it for sure or whatever. Because I learned, Randall, I learned over time that if I recommend somebody or something, people go out and buy it, they might even donate to that person's ministry who already brings in $5 million a year. And then they'll come back and tell me, "Hey, I want you to know I went and I donated to Jan Markell's ministry because I heard about her and I heard her on your show." And I'd be like, "Thank you for letting me know that. I thank you for telling me you gave more money to her and you've never donated to me. I really appreciate that, but yes, thank you very much." You got So, and I've gotten accused of wanting money. That's been a big thing people have accused me of. "Oh, all you are is in it for the money." I remember David, who is David Gunn, who's a prominent Christian homosexual guy who listens to our show and who's insulted me numerous times on the air while we were doing live streaming. He's probably still listening and really rejoicing that we're over this. But he told me numerous times how hateful I am. And at one point, I basically said, "Let's compare checkbooks. All right, let's see if homosexuals give more money than Christians do." But I've never had him take me up on it. It's like, what the heck? So there's There's haters. I actually had the gay community, the gay activist community, set up a fake anti-Stacey Harp Twitter account that had a homosexual flag as the profile picture. I've had people threaten my Joe Brummer, who I think he tried to be a friend in the end. He was a he's he went into mediation and stuff, but he threatened my license years ago as a therapist. When we did Prop 8 shows, we had our house vandalized in Orange, California, and all that. I mean, we've put up with a lot of crap, let's put it that way.
Yeah, there's that part too. Yeah,
Yeah.
if you speak up where people can hear you, not all people are going to take it well. And
No.
I mean, the scripture tells us, beware when all men speak well of you. If that's the case, you're a man pleaser, not a God pleaser. If everybody thinks you're all that, then yeah, you're tickling ears. If you're telling the truth, then you're gonna have some enemies.
Well, there was Nelson Garcia, who was a homosexual pedophile, who I exposed early on when we were doing our show. And, because all the homosexuals back then were saying, well, we're not pedophiles, and, we've never been accused of blah, blah, whatever. And I'm like, really? I find this database, I look up this guy's name, and he had been arrested for, rape. It's like, okay, so I expose it, and I remember this was actually what got us on TV on Fox News.
Yeah, and for whatever with a minor.
Yeah, with a minor. And then Fox News called me up because of my background as a therapist, and we were exposing how Google was allowing pedophile blogs
On the blogger,
on Blogger, the platform,
Blogspot.
on Blogspot way back in the day. And the irony is that interview is still on YouTube. And I will also say that at the same time, they were blocking content from China. And there was this big outrage. Well, how can Google do that? And I'm like, yeah, if you can do that, how come you can't block pedophile content?
and the hosts were really confused. They were thinking about Google, the search engine. Oh, Google is allowing. No, it's not
Yeah.
just they're allowing to come up in search results. They actually host blogs
Right.
on their platform.
Yep. Just like.
Pedophilia blogs they're hosting, not just search results. Anyway, the host just,
They were clueless.
I think because it was the early 2000s. They were not savvy, tech savvy, and didn't. Google to them was just a search engine. They didn't realize it. I mean, everybody who knows today that Google is a whole ecosystem, a digital
Yeah. But I
ecosystem and thing.
remember though, they coached me and they were like, hey, you need to come on and
You
pretend you're
get angry,
angry and all this other stuff. I'm like, how can I pretend I'm angry? I mean, I was outraged, but it's like I felt like I had to pretend like to be this like feign outrage. Don't you understand? I talk about these topics with a light touch. I could go on Fox News and it make light of pedophilia,
And in stream of consciousness style, that was educational.
Oh
Just
yeah.
to see how contrived these shows are,
On Fox
coaching.
News and
Yeah,
stuff,
that you
yeah.
gotta act angry, look this way, and it's just so choreographed. And
Yep.
I see this stuff. We don't watch TV at all
Nope.
anymore.
This is why we're sane.
I'll be, as I was telling you just, I don't know, yesterday or the day before, I'll go to our local rec center where I exercise and I was on elliptical. And the only time I see TVs, I've got like four or five screens in there. I don't know, I don't count. There's a lot that you can see. And a lot of times I'll see they'll have CNN on one screen and Fox News on the other. And they'll be covering the same story and then with different headlines and one vilifying it and the other praising it, whatever. And I'm thinking this is just so, it's not just different world views. To me, this is circus. It's an act. It's a show. It really is
it's legitimately
really
a show.
Just tickle ears, divide, conquer, distract. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and this is nothing. We've been saying that for
long time.
Years as well.
So, in closing, because we've gone 45 minutes already.
Yes.
You know, I just want to say a couple of things. I've had people, recently make comments, well, you know, you shouldn't be this way if you want to grow your ministry and all this other stuff. You know, for those of you who know me and you've been in my Bible studies or you know me personally or whatever, you already know I've never been about becoming a big name. Never been a desire of mine whatsoever. My desire has solely been to be a counselor, to be a therapist. That's what I went to school for all those years for, to help people get through things and to encourage people in their faith. Because I know the gospel and how it changed my life. Reading the Word of God changed my life. Going to good counseling, having good therapy changed my life. Having a great husband changed my life. And I'm proud of the accomplishments that the Lord has allowed me to go through in my life. I mean, I am. It's been humbling to me. It's been cracking me up a lot of times, and at times it's been also infuriating to have to deal with the crap that, you know, I get to deal with from people who don't really know what the heck they're talking about. And I'm just like kind of hitting my head up against the wall going, you don't get that this has never been about Stacey Lynn Harp. This has never been about me. You know, I would say the biggest thing that I brought into our show that was about me was pickleball. You know, talking about pickleball all the time, talking about pickleball and, you know, talking about my book, Pickleball Faith, which, by the way, you guys have bought, you've supported. The Lord opened up me to get, you know, I've done TV and I've done radio interviews. You know, on that book, which all that is a God thing too, because even in doing that, the publicist that I work with gave me free, they did it for me for free. Why? Because of who I am as a person. People know what you see is what you get. I'm going to tell you the truth. I will tell you I'm sorry if I screw up. If I've changed my mind on an issue, I'll let you know. You know, I'm quick to fix the errors I make. Never claim to be perfect. I'm certainly not. And I pissed off quite a few people because I don't put up with the crap and abuse from people. And there are some other people I could list, but I won't in this show because these people became abusive towards me and lied to me and insulted me and called me names. And I'm like, you know what? I don't deserve to be treated like a piece of crap, and you will no longer have access to me. That's the bottom line. And that's part of the personal boundaries and part of what I understand and had to grow into as somebody who's done this for a long time. It's not because I don't love people. It's not because I don't care, but it's also a part of growth when you get mature enough and you realize, you know what? You don't have to put up with this stuff from people. You want to be toxic? You can go someplace else and be toxic. It's not going to be with me, you know? And so over the last couple of years, as I've watched God move in our lives, when Periscope went down, you know, that really began the dwindle of our audience. When YouTube removed us, because we're biblical, because we refused to talk about the topic, and then we moved into doing our mobile app on HeartTug, and then, of course, social media changed. I mean, we had, at one point, I think I had a reach of 60,000 followers on all my various social media Twitter accounts, but Twitter started banning us and
deleted one of your accounts.
Yeah. Well, they deleted my Stacey Harp one, which had like 20,000 followers on it.
With no warning,
with no warning, and they never cared. And then they banned me on my Bible News Radio account. So it's like, okay, well, you know, the social media world now is pay to play. It really is. Unless you have some big, huge name behind you, you are not going to get the visibility.
Who is already paid to play.
Right. You're just not going to get the visibility. And so I've had people say, well, how come you're quitting because of whatever? And I'm like, well, in part because it doesn't matter how many times we ask for support, we're not getting enough support to meet even a minimum need here. And so for that reason, resources, and I have a couple other famous or famous friends, I don't know if they're famous, but friends recently who've just also said the same thing. You know what? I'm cutting back my show. I'm not going to do this anymore because the support isn't there. And this is what I think is happening. I think, and I've felt it in my spirit for a couple of years now. I've felt that the Lord is calling those of us who've been in this battle for a long time. He's calling us out, and he's put new people in, younger generation. Not that I'm old, but I'll be 55 in a few weeks. I was in my 30s when I started this, and I see some of the most popular people now, they're in their 30s. So it's like, okay, I have felt for a couple of years that God has been moving me back to really my first love in work, which is to work with people, to counsel people. But because I refuse to get licensed to be part of the government issue there, I'm a coach. I am a biblical life coach. I'm a board certified mental health coach. I'm a trauma certified. I'm not certified yet, but I will be by the time this airs. In a couple of weeks, I'll have my certification in trauma, and all that. So, I mean, I have that heart to go one on one with people. And so it's not that I can't even tolerate all of this stuff, but I've seen the Lord move. He's been moving people and he's raised up new people. If you want to listen to Charlie Kirk, go for it. You know, if you want to listen to Allison, whatever her name is, listen to her. I don't care. You know, they have money behind them. That's the reality. They have a lot of money behind them. And that's what people want. It's like, okay, you know what? That's fine. And there's a gazillion podcasts out there that you can listen to about other stuff. Well, I will tell you, part of my future plans, unless the Lord changes them between now and next year, is to start another podcast with a co-host, with a younger lady who is 25 years younger than me, give or take. And we'll be doing a coaching show, and it will be from a biblical perspective. And I think it will be really interesting because you'll have my old age perspective, and you'll have her young age perspective, and us looking at stuff where we can actually help people one on one. Because here's the issue: the Christian church can jump up and down and gripe and complain you know, talk about Trump and talk about how evil world is and blah, blah, whatever. We're going to save America and all this other stuff. But you know what? That is just a distraction from people really dealing with the real issues in their lives. And I will tell you, in the last couple of months, I've received about almost 50 requests for help from people who need help. Anywhere from, you know, grief and loss, to marriage issues, to I'm depressed, to I'm anxious, I'm lonely, you know. And it's like I reach out to these people, and in some cases I get to set up appointments with them and talk to them, and you know, you're meeting somebody where they're at in their pain. That's where my heart is. My heart, you know, the Lord is, I think, giving me the desire of my heart to be able to go back and do the one-on-one ministering. And I think he took me through this journey for a reason. I don't think any experience, to quote Michelle Wagner, ever goes to waste. I think he is the heart of the journey. He is the heart of the journey, the beginning, the end of the road. Sorry, Michelle. Anyway, by the way, I might be having an additional episode with her later. I don't know. We'll see. But the point is that none of this journey for me has been wasted. And I know God has used us to minister to those of you out there that have done that. And my friend Rachel, who also has supported this show and is still a pillar of the community, you know, has made it real clear that she's gonna miss our show. And but you know, the cool thing about Rachel is that she's in a personal discipleship group with me. And I just want you guys to know that we do have other things still going on. Heart Tug International is not going away. Only Bible News Radio, the show, is going away. If you download my app, Heart Tug International, I will be doing updates in that app. I will be, you know, offering Bible studies and other discipleship opportunities. maybe more coaching resources and stuff in that as we get to develop over time. But you know, I'm still accessible wherever you know me. You could still reach me unless I die. If I die, then well, I'm be like Paul. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you know. So those are my thoughts on this. You know, those of you who've listened, you know, maybe I've been used to help encourage you in your life, but you've encouraged me. And without you, I wouldn't be who I am today. You know, I think maybe, you know, I have a friend that has worked with a therapist for a very long time, and I know that personally. I know my own experience working with a therapist for a very long time. You get to see that change over time. Well, over time, I think the audience, the topics, the culture, all that has changed over time. You can see that. But at some point, something's got to change and it's got to end, you know. And I think that for now, right now, this is a good ending for us because I think God has raised up new people. I'm also cynical at this point. I don't think that anything the Christian church does at this point, at least in America, is going to change America. I think we are under God's judgment. I think we're on the road to destruction. I think the elite, I'm trying to think of the right word, the New World Order, the
Globalists.
globalists, that's what it was. I think the globalists have their plan in place, and I really do think the next big event for the church is the rapture of the church. I am a pre-trib holder of that, and I believe that the rapture is imminent. It can happen anytime, and that's what I hold to. I think that we have a lot to do, and I think that we need to be encouraging people we know locally, and I think we need to be accountable to one another so that we're continuing to grow in the faith, you know, and to move forward in that way. And not be ashamed to reach out for help when you need it, but also not be ashamed to stand up and defend yourself too. I'm not a pacifist, and neither was Jesus. It's, you know, it's all this other hooey that's out there too. It's like, no, people need to be heard. They need to be seen. They need to be accepted. They need to be loved. They need to be not judged in a negative way. And they need to be offered hope in this world where people are thirsting for the truth. And that is my hope going forward for what I plan on doing. So, what do you think? What are your final words?
Final words are, if you're looking to make a name for yourself, build your own kingdom, you may be able to do it, but verily I say to you, have your reward. This life that we've been given in Messiah, in Christ, is for him, to make it, glorify him and make the difference in other people's lives. And I thank all y'all for this opportunity for many years to do that, to contribute my gifts that God has given to me, to help encourage some of you, many of you. And yeah, that's what it's all about, folks. Let's seek to do that. Seek to know the Lord and to make him known, basically. And depend upon him to do it. All things are possible with God, and keep growing in the knowledge and the faith of Messiah Yeshua. That's what I got for you.
Yep, but not all things are profitable, right?
True. Indeed.
All right, I'm gonna leave you with my favorite. I have many favorite verses, but one of my favorite verses is Psalm 68:19, which says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears your burdens. He is the God of salvation, Selah." You know, and you know what? All the answers are in God's word in the Bible. That's what we've covered on the show forever. The encouragement I will leave you is to read the Bible. Read it, study it, live it, breathe it, memorize it, meditate on it, Listen to Jesus, sit at his feet. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. That's James 4:8. And when you're given the opportunity to be bold, be bold.
Stand up. Say it. Go with God.
Yeah. I don't know if you've listened this long. There's a long dramatic pause. But, you know, my tears are for you because he loves you. And so do I. Love you guys. See you in heaven, hopefully.